The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Can you hear me now? Wow. Uh-oh. Oh, my gosh. Hold on. Now you can hear me. Perfect. Okay. Welcome to Blacks in Business Radio. Why is it always something? I don't get it. I'm going to get a new computer. But anyway, so welcome to Blacks in Business Radio. We are here today, September 28th, 2017. I want to send a shout out to my oldest son, Anthony Krauts. Today is his 26th birthday. I can't believe it. That is so crazy. And then also my sister, she is, well, I don't want to tell her age. You probably wouldn't like that. But today is her birthday also. My son was born on her birthday. So I just want to send both of them best blessings on their day of birth. And yeah, hopefully they're listening. So those who have trickled over, hey. Those who have trickled over from Tando Radio, feel free to sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride, or, you know, unmute yourself so we can talk. We have a very interesting show today. How are you, Robert?
I'm doing great. Wonderful. And yourself?
It's been a long week. I'm tired, but it's okay because this experience always re-energizes me. The guests that we have on today, they are so excited to come on. We have Mr. Derek Scott. He's going to be representing a new debit card called That Card. He was on our show last year as he and Michael Jordan were trying to put the project together. But now they have it together. Some other things have happened in between time, but he's going to come on and talk to us about the advantages of That Card. Because there is definitely advantage in signing up for That Card. Then next we have Miss Elizabeth White. And I'm very excited to have her on because, let me see here. Her book is called, wait, let me go to the TED Talk. 55 Unemployed and Faking Normal. Okay, so her story is that of someone who has been faking a life or a lifestyle. Now, although she's talking about people nearing their senior ages, I think there's a lot of people that can definitely relate to faking it, you know, and it kind of goes along with keeping up with the Joneses. But I'm very excited to have her on because she's going to talk to us about her experience and her experience as being an entrepreneur even, because this situation alone has caused her to totally have to be an entrepreneur. And I so appreciate her presence on the show today. So, Robert, what do you think about that? I mean, as we get older, what would be your advice to people as we get older? Because we know our people usually, I'm not even gonna say usually, but a lot of times our people don't have like funds set up for retirement. They don't have all these 401ks and all that. What would you suggest to people? Do you think that there's still a way for them to be entrepreneurs even when they're getting, you know, up in age? Not that 55 is old, but I'm saying like to be starting something over again. What do you think about that?
I personally, because I've been in retail sales forever, it seems like, the value in always having something to sell is, for me, irreplaceable. I mean, it's just always have something to sell. And going into what some people may think is about to happen in America at some point, where if the dollar fails, having something to sell today will be having something to trade tomorrow. So anybody, there are some older people that I see in the flea market that are in retirement age, and they come up there, and it's a hobby to them, but they make great money selling something. And that's the thing that I would suggest for anybody that's of age. The flea market is one of those spots in every city where you can actually set a booth up and go right into a built-in clientele and make money. And it doesn't matter how old you are, you know, it does matter what you're selling, though. But you can still make money. You'll make more money than what you're going to make the average person makes in retirement from like a retirement check or whatever on that nature. But definitely I would say if you're in good health and you can move around, and you know, I know a lot of 60-year-old men and women that you couldn't tell they were 60 is not old for real.
No.
As long as you can move around and you can get to A and B and C and D with, and you don't have no real physical handicap, and you don't have a way of making money, I wouldn't suggest to any and everybody to open up a brick and mortar. Most 60-year-olds are not computer savvy, so doing a web page for them may not be the thing for them to do. But if you can do a web page, and, you know, learn about drop shipping. But definitely go to a flea market in your city, in your town, and rent a booth and order some products. Go to the trade show, learn about trade shows, which we teach. We talk about it on BIB radio. We got the Blackston Business hashtag trade shows on Facebook, so you can go to that page and you can actually see the different trade shows. And if you need to really talk to us in depth, you know, just send us an email. We are blackstonbusiness@gmail.com. And we can set up a consultation with you and really, you know, give you some insight on what you could be doing. But retirement ain't for you to sit at home and just not do anything. So definitely sell something. Sell.
You know, I agree with you because, you know, you mentioned the flea market, and there are several people that are actually at the flea market, and they do have a disability, walking with a cane and, you know, not seeing well, not hearing well, but they're there selling things. I mean, there's a woman who makes dolls. I mean, she makes these wonderful dolls. It takes her a while, but if she decided to really sell those dolls like I want her to, she wouldn't have to worry about anything, because those dolls easily could sell for about $160. You remember that big doll, that huge doll I had?
Really nice
handmade work. Yes. And then I know another lady, well, we know another lady, she was on the show, Miss Deborah Paddlefoot Dolls. She makes dolls too, and she's up there in age, and I'm telling you, if your mind is still working, then you can definitely do something. If I was a senior, I think I would sell on eBay, because, you know, you can go to computer classes. and you can learn. They will teach you for free how to use a computer, and that's something to do. And you could sell on Amazon. You could also have garage sales every single week. You have garage sales right at your house. So, I mean, you know, there's hope. I'm definitely interested in seeing or hearing what Miss Elizabeth has to say. I mean, she's very savvy at this point because she's written this book. So I'm interested in hearing that. We are waiting for Mr. Derek to come on. He is on. Derek, you can unmute yourself by doing, what is it, star? It's been a while. What do we need to do to unmute?
Star.
Okay, star. So, Derek, just do star. I think I have a couple people that have unmuted themselves. Welcome to Blacks in Business.
Yeah, you guys are part of the show. You guys are going to help us with the show today. Those who are unmuted, you can speak and just say, hey, what's going on, Rob?
Derek, are you there? Okay, let me unmute.
Yeah,
him.
This
there
is Elizabeth.
Elizabeth?
Yeah.
Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome to BIB Radio.
Wonderful. Happy to be here.
Okay.
This is the 55 and unemployed.
Oh, Elizabeth, you're early.
Yes.
I'm thinking that you're a regular caller. How are you? Okay.
So it's 8 o'clock my time. Am I too early?
It's 8 o'clock our time, Central Standard.
Okay, so I'm Eastern. I'm calling Eastern time, so I can call back.
Yes, you can, absolutely. And we are happy to have you on when you come back.
Okay.
CC Robert, this is Derek.
Oh, hey, Derek. Okay, perfect.
Hey, how's it going? Yourself.
I'm excellent. Derek. How are you doing? We sure appreciate you coming on again and talking to us about your project.
I feel great. It's good, and I'm very happy to do it.
Okay, so Derek, let's reintroduce you to our listening audience because that show was like 100 years ago. So let them know who you are and about your partner, Michael Jordan, how you came together and what it is you're bringing for us today.
Well, first of all, my name is Derek Scott, and I am an accountant. I'm an accountant for a very large accounting firm right now. Michael Jordan is the CEO. Michael Jordan is my business partner and a very, very good friend. Michael was going to be on the show. He had an emergency, so he apologizes for that. And, you know, we just send prayers out to him and his family. But Michael and I started a company called Business Partners Group, LLC. The purpose of the partnership and starting the business was to build a platform that we could give back to individuals. Our business has actually five platforms. The first platform is a debt elimination service, a prepaid debit card service, business credit service, cost reduction, and insurance side. Michael's expertise as the CEO, his background is real estate and insurance. My background as the chief financial officer is accounting, real estate, and financing. And Business Partners Group is an innovative financial service company. So Cece and Robert, Michael and I got started as a result of us going in two different directions, but being a part of the same company. We were introduced to a product that was actually being developed, and because of our input and so forth, Michael and I both were asked to be a part of the team that did the beta testing for this particular product. The product did so well I mean, you know, everything that starts has pitfalls and problems, and you got to go back and tweak them, and you got to make things just right and so forth. And Michael and I had some very good input in the development and help with that particular product. As a result, I would hear on the morning calls all the time, they would say, Michael Jordan's doing this, Michael Jordan's doing that. And I would say to myself, who is this Michael Jordan?
Did you think it was the Michael Jordan?
You know, at first I thought it was, but I couldn't really fathom that it was the Michael Jordan. Now, my business partner, Michael Jordan, we actually call him Ground Jordan. He's a little bit older than the real Michael Jordan. And he's very, very knowledgeable individual. As a result, we liked this particular product so well that we started asking questions of how we could get involved and do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
As a result of asking all those questions, I told Michael, along with a couple other individuals, we could do this ourselves and start our own business.
Mm.
And as a result, 2.5 years ago, this product was actually, we took the initiative to set up our corporation and dive into this particular product. The product actually took 5 years to develop with
wow.
the program manager and the patent designer.
Okay.
But it is an excellent, excellent product. Excellent.
Now, when you say it took 5 years to develop, I mean, that sounds very detailed, and it sounds like it might have cost a lot of money. And what we want to make sure we do is be clear with our listening audience, because if they want to do something similarly, it would be very helpful to know, like, what sort of roadblocks will you run into? What type of costs will you run into? Do you have investors? How did you find them? That kind of thing.
Well, when we started our business, we started with our own money, our own time. As far as costs, very, very expensive endeavor. Michael and I, you know, when we set our business up, we took the position that we were going to set something up that will give back to individuals. And that's what we did. We took the burden of the financing, the structure, the due diligence, the checks, the compliance, and so forth, as a marketing company, innovative financial service company with a marketing twist, to be able to put this product out there and design it and so forth. We bought the rights to the program. We have a program manager who manages the program. The product is regulated by the bank. It's regulated by SEC, and it's also regulated by MasterCard. So
okay,
we basically took the burden of relieving individuals to get started and what we do in this particular business. So, in terms of cost, let me say what it is right now. The cost is actually zero.
Okay.
No dollars. Nothing to get started.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's definitely interesting because, you know, we hear a lot of people upset because to do anything, it costs money. And you're saying this is zero. So, kind of explain each product individually for us so we know what it is that you have, because, you know, I know what you have, but I know that we're still into some preliminary stages, so I want you to be able to talk freely about what it is that we're offering. So each product, let's just go ahead and explain to everybody what it is.
Okay, so I'm going to start off with business partners groups. Their first product, we have a product called the Debt Elimination, a Debt Elimination Service, GPS. And what it does is it's a program that helps individuals manage their debt. It's not a quick payoff, pay in advance, or anything like that. The program manages the money that you have in front of you the salary that you make, the wages that you make, the discretionary income that you have. It takes into calculation all those different attributes and helps you manage on what you should pay first and how you should pay it, based on interest rate, based on the time of month that you would pay your debt, and so forth. It's an excellent program, and it keeps a person on track. Our biggest problem that we have is, you know, we get paid on Friday and Saturday. We wake up and we decide, I'm going to pay this bill, I'm going to pay that bill, blah, 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 and we skip over whatever other bill. Well, the system doesn't allow you to do that. It actually puts you on a quick track. So that's our debt elimination service. We also
Before you go forward, with the debt elimination service, is this available to everyone, like from all walks of credit score or debt, or do I have to have a certain amount of debt for it to work?
If you have $1 of debt, if you have $1 of debt and you have at least $1 of discretionary income, this program will work for you. I don't care if you're in high school, college, or what have you, typically not a high school student, but maybe a college student, an older person. If you have a business, you have rental property, you have student loans, you have credit cards, absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
This is a program that will enable you to get yourself out of debt in expeditious period of time.
Okay. So is this a program that you just go on the computer, or is there an app, or is there like a real person? How does this system work?
Okay. So there is an actual program that a person has lifetime use. Yes, it does cost, and they get access to the program, and they get access to customer service. It's not 24/7, but it's during basically work hours, from 7 to 9 o'clock at night. But they have access to customer service, and they can walk them through anything that has anything to do with the program, and setting yourself up and getting you started and so forth. But it is a program that's on your computer. It's downloaded. No one has access to that program but yourself. So if you have questions, customer service can help you and walk you through that, the problems that you may have, questions that you may have with that program.
Okay.
The
program, in
terms of cost, is something that we work with each individual on. And so we make it affordable. We help you get in line so you can take care of your debt. Actually, that debt that you may incur with that buying the program is actually calculated into the program.
Oh, wow.
So we try
okay.
to keep it very reasonable so a person can get themselves out of debt in a reasonable period of time.
Okay, let's go ahead and see if this person wanted to ask a question. I don't know if this is Elizabeth or not, but caller, last 40134, did you have a question? Because you were unmuted. Nope, I don't think they had a question. Yes? Okay, no. All right, so let's keep moving forward. Okay, so I remember that I had an interview with Don Daniel, and he had a similar product, but then you were explaining to me that this particular product was a little bit more advanced.
Yes, Don has a very, very good product, and it's something that does work. Ours is just a little bit more advanced. I don't want to take anything away from him, but it's a little bit more advanced.
Uh-huh.
It has a little more bells and whistles, and it just applies a little bit different. Know Don personally, and yes, it's a very good product and so forth.
Okay, so is this really user friendly? Like, you know, a lot of people are still nervous about programs and using the computer. So if I'm 55 and faking it, and I need to, I need to eliminate some debt, is it easy for me to get on here and do it, or is it like, okay, wait, you really need somebody to hold your hand?
CC, this program is so simple to use. It's color coordinated. It walks you through. It talks to you. It highlights things for you. There's tutorials. There's videos. And, of course, there's customer service. And Michael and I and our team will always make ourselves available to people to help them. But it's very, very – I mean, if you can turn on a computer and you can – do some of the simple things that are on a computer, you can go through this program and so forth. You know, it asks for your paycheck. You put it in there. It asks for your credit cards, your interest rate, when your payment is actually due and so forth. It does all the calculations for you, and then it tells you what the results are and what you should do for that month.
This sounds like a very good budgeting tool, especially for someone starting out, like college students. Sounds like a good marketing tool.
Absolutely. College, excellent marketing tool, excellent management tool for managing your debt and keeping yourself on the straight. The biggest problem is that we don't manage the monies that we receive from pay and so forth. We just arbitrarily just pay instead of planning on what should be paid first and how it should be paid and when it should be paid timely and so forth. Those are the keys that we really need to do. We need to act like the bank. The bank does it all the time. They manage their money, and we need to make sure that we manage ourselves. We don't need a financial advisor to do that. The program will do it for you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not too keen on the bank these days. They are mismanaging people's money big time. So if we can find a product or service that actually helps us to put more funds away so that we can put them in the correct place, that would be really good. Robert, you are there. Do you have any questions about this product?
Drawn to what's being talked about in terms of this product. I was just talking to a young brother today in reference to something that was shared to me by my mentor, knowing your everyday, your daily operating expense costs. And products like what you are offering can help people definitely put their economics in order, you know. And I'm wondering if with this product, does it manage it down to, or is it capable of managing your expenses down to the day, but the day by day?
Yes, it takes you all the way down to day by day, and it predicts for you. For example, if you received a tax refund of $5,000, and you put it into the program is going to tell you what to pay with that $5,000. It may tell you to pay this credit card that will drop this rate down, pay this mortgage, pay this car note, or what have you. It'll make the financial decisions for you and keep it all in perspective.
Wow.
Down to the day. And it will predict future. So if I turn around and I say, hey, you know what, I'm going to go out and buy this car, put the program, put it in the cost of the car. It's a $20,000 car. It's costing me whatever percentage that is, and plug it in and see what your payments are going to be, plus how it's going to affect your debt in the long run. Because your primary goal with this program is like a GPS system. Its primary goal acts just like a GPS. It's to get to zero. Your car GPS, its primary goal is to get you from point A to point B. Their primary goal in this program is to get you to zero, and that's where you want to get to, is out of debt. The fastest way out of debt. So it's got a lot of financial logarithms that I can't even imagine that a program into the system.
that keep you on the straight and narrow and make those financial decisions that we're incapable of doing, but a computer can. Computer program can.
Well, so, like, let's just say, for instance, if somebody's got a mortgage and they want to have an early payoff on their mortgage, which is some mathematics that you really have to have a good understanding of how that works. Because you're talking a mortgage is 30 years down the line to pay it off or whatever it is. And if you send in an extra $200 or $100 extra a month, does it calculate the early payoff as well?
Yes, it absolutely calculates the early payoff of that mortgage as well. It will anticipate future payments and decisions that you could make. Let me just tell you something. Let me give you a tidbit, and I hope I don't get in trouble in doing this. But you know, when you pay your mortgage on the first of the month, your mortgage is not credited to you on the first of the month when you pay it. It's not credited to you for about 15 days. So all that time, who's making all the money?
The banks.
The bank is making the money off the floating of
the
mortgage company is floating, is making money off the float of that money that you just paid. Now, can you imagine thousands and thousands of people paying their mortgage and that's not being credited to them? Of course, if your mortgage is on the 15th of the month, then it's not going to fall into the next month. It's approximately 15 days that's sitting out there floating before you actually get credit. Well, the system is going to calculate and tell you to pay it here, pay it early. It's going to anticipate the interest rate so you get the best return for your money and for what, you know, your bills and things that you're paying. But that is something that I learned very early, that you don't get the credit right away.
I didn't know that. But I probably wouldn't have known that because I've never dealt with the banks on a mortgage, no way. So I probably wouldn't have never known that. But for those people that actually have dealt with loans in the conventional sense, that's something that I don't know how useful that knowledge would be for them, because I'm sure the banks will try to collect on a late payment if it's due by the 5th, even though that it's not accredited to the 15th, maybe I don't know if that's how that works, but you know. But nevertheless, it sounds like a really, really good program that you guys have come up with. Because again, for me, being in the real estate business, especially buying properties, creative financing, as well as selling properties using creative financing, create mortgages. This is something that definitely going forward that I could suggest to homeowners or, you know, anybody with any type of that need to arrange their finances and get them in order. You know, again, I just was telling the guy this morning about, you know, calculating your bills, all your bills together, and then divide those by 30 days, and that gives you what we call, again, your daily operating expense cost. And so to have a program that can do that, as well as tell you when these payments need to be made, this is, if you start paying it this month, this far down the line, this could be an early payoff. That's a phenomenal program.
Yes, it is. I mean, it is.
Yeah, that's very phenomenal. I'm like, right now, I just need to know what the cost is, because I want to invest in it too.
Well, the program actually does the cost. It varies depending on the amount of debt that a person has. So it could be anywhere from $1,200 to $3,900 for the program, lifetime for the program, and so forth. But like I said, It depends on the amount of debt that the person has. We work with you. We even do payment plans. We calculate that debt into the program, so it also gets early payoff. Likewise. So here's what I'm going to say, Robert and Cece. If a person is really, really, truly want to get themselves out of debt and they are serious about staying in line and managing themselves, then they should give us a call, send me an email, and let's sit down and talk and come up with a plan in order to get them where they need to be. And you have to be diligent. You have to be honest with yourself, because it's gonna calculate your discretionary income. It's going to use your discretionary income. It's going to keep you in line. So I would say, don't worry about the cost. Let's worry about getting you out of debt.
And see, the thing, Derek, here's the thing with when it comes to us as Black people, for the most part, we're more concerned about the cost and not looking at how much more money organizing your debt, or, you know, setting it up where you can pay these things off early, how much more money that's going to save you in the long term, because money saved is money made. And from my perspective, if I can save, if I can start my mortgage 5 years to 10 years, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, that's a lot of money saved on your mortgage payment in terms of interest. With the if you're paying off the principal of your mortgage early, and you're eliminating some serious principal, some serious interest payments off of that loan. And man, I was just calculating some figures today for a few people, and was showing them just how much money. I was showing them both the benefit side of mortgages as well as the liability side of a conventional mortgage. And so when you really look at those numbers in terms of what the banks do over a 30-year period, you actually will pay three times as much as, depending upon the interest rate. And I found out today that the average interest rate today on a mortgage is like 5.2%. So if you're paying $100,000, what would we calculate? I think we calculated $60,000 or something, $80,000. But nevertheless, we calculated something a little more than that. It came up to right around, it was $80,000. And the at 5% for, I think, 10 years, the interest on that thing was somewhere like $73,000. And that's nearly almost what the principal of it costs. So what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, by having a program that or knowledge of how to structure your debt and pay things off early, you're going to save a lot of money. And absolutely knowing, not guessing, but absolute knowing your numbers is how you win. You got to know the numbers. They don't lie. I say this, men and women lie, but numbers don't. So just these type of programs, you know, I haven't heard of it, but you know, I really would suggest that to our people that's listening to at least call in. If you're not getting a full understanding of what it is that you may have a question, if you're not asking that question now, to at least call Derek. He's going to give you his information. Call him and ask more questions, because trust and believe, I've been in business 24 years, and you don't be in business 24 years guessing with numbers. You have to know what to do. You have to know your numbers. And all of us that have a house, we're paying electric, paying gas, we're paying rent, we're paying insurance, we're paying all kind of bills. You have to know your numbers. So I would strongly suggest that you definitely get in touch with my man. I know you all heard the $1,200, but I don't know if they could work something out. As he said, if there's a payment plan on it, but call this man and see what you can do in reference to getting this program or investigating it a little bit deeper. That's what I suggest, because knowing your numbers is key to your win, to your success in life.
Okay, so there's some other components to this program, Derek, or to the whole system. What are they? Go ahead.
Okay, so our second platform is probably our premier. It is our premier product and so forth. We have a prepaid debit card. You know, for CC and Robert and your listening audience, prepaid debit cards are very, very popular right now, and they're more popular than credit cards. Why? Because they help you to manage your money and not put yourself in debt. Our prepaid debit card by MasterCard is not a credit card, but it's a debit card. And it's a debit card with a twist to it. It's a little bit different than what's out there right now. There is nothing else out there like our card right now. It was designed by Michael and myself. We bought the rights for to use the product, to use MasterCard. It's regulated by the program manager, the patent owner, Sunrise Bank out of Minneapolis, St. Paul. MasterCard, and you know MasterCard is a Fortune 100 company. Sunrise Bank is in the top 100 banks, and of course it's SEC regulated. It's a financial product. It works just like any other debit card out there.
Okay.
But here's the twist to it. Your current debit cards, before I do that, let me just say one other thing. Debit cards are known to be with banks, and I won't say any specific banks, but when you walk into a bank and you ask to open up an account, they'll open up an account, give you a checking account, and they'll turn around and say, do you want a debit card? And you'll say, yes. So they turn around and order you a debit card, and you get that. Well, what you don't know is that every time that card is swiped at a merchant, the bank gets paid. So what the patent owner did and the designer, he took that same product and brought it on the outside of banks and other financial institutions. And he made it available for individuals like our company, which is an innovative financial service company. Okay?
Okay.
So, with that said, that gave us an opportunity to say, wow, we can go in business for ourselves, catapult ourselves to be a worldwide brand. Now, how many people do you know start a business and they're instantly given a worldwide brand like MasterCard and in business with them?
I don't know many people like that at all.
Robert?
I don't. I can't say that I know. No, I don't.
Okay. All right. So we instantly put ourselves in that limelight, along with working with the bank, and the card was issued. So most cards, like I said, every time it's swiped, the bank makes money. They make money off the people that they issue the card to, which are now their members. Because our card is on the outside, here's what happens with our card. In a normal card, you get some companies to give you 1%, some give you 5%, some give you 10%. Based on your spending. Some give you airline frequent flyer points and this and that and so forth. But with our card, it has all the attributes of any other card, but here's the point. You don't make money, you don't get rewarded, which we call our friend spin rewards, off of your use.
you get rewarded off the use of your spending squad.
Ah, spending squad. What is that? Sounds like superheroes.
Spending squad is this. For example, I refer my referral code to UCC. And I sign you, you sign up, you go get your card, doesn't cost you anything. You get your card, I refer to 1,000 other individuals. Every time they use that card, I get rewarded. So they have the opportunity, you and every other one of those 1,000 individuals have the same opportunity to go and refer their code, their referral code.
Now, when you say rewarded, what is that? Is that like some gas points? Is it money? Is it a toaster? What kind of reward is this?
It's money.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Money. See, every time that card is used, the credit portion of that card, not the debit, the credit portion of it. You know, like when you go to the merchant and the merchant says, is this debit or credit? And if you say credit, the merchant just kind of looks at you, especially if it's the owner, looks at you and like frowns. Why? Because they have to pay something to the bank called the exchange fee.
Oh,
and that's
you know,
where
and
you're
people
getting
don't
paid.
Know that.
Yes. If you take debit, that's fine. But that merchant has to pay for the use of that machine and the use of you using that credit card to the bank. That prepaid debit card to the bank.
Wait,
so
hold on.
What you're rewarded from that those exchange fees that come into the bank that are now paid back to you because you're helping to develop business for them.
Well, you hit a sore spot for Robert. I'm pretty sure he has a question because he has a POS system. And now that you've said that.
You damn Skippy, I would pump the brakes a few minutes ago for me. Wait a minute, now let's put this in reverse. You saying
okay.
That every time that I allow somebody to swipe their card on our system as debit, I'm paying for that?
No. As a credit. When they swipe it as a credit, you are paying a fee to the bank for the use of that machine and for the processing of your credit payments. They're not doing that. Bank is not doing that free.
No, he knows. He's paying a monthly fee. It's $100.
Yeah, he's paying a monthly fee.
Right.
And that's called the exchange fee for processing that merchant's credit transaction.
Mm-hmm.
So you remember how it always says, well, we got to wait till it goes through the transaction. We can't credit you back because you're returning something. It takes 2 or 3 days. Well, that's the merchant doing the transaction.
Oh, yeah. That happened to me at the rent-a-car place this past week. What was weird was I was using two different cards, one for the deposit, one for the actual transaction. So the person really didn't know what they're doing. So I did actually have to wait a few days for everything to go back onto my account. And it's exactly what you're talking about now.
Right. But see, here's the beauty of this whole thing. I can build a spending squad, refer another 1,000, you refer another 1,000, you know, 1,000, refer this person, refer that person. And next thing you know, I've got 10, 20, 30,000 people six levels deep. And as wide as I want to go, that I'm earning rewards from other individual spending. Okay?
Okay.
And all the marketing and all the stuff is being done by the program manager. You don't have to do anything once you refer and that person signs up and so forth. Everybody has the opportunity to do that. Now you're making money, earning rewards. And here's the two beauty, the two really good points about this card. You don't have to spend any extra money. Just pay your bills, your gas, electric, water, cable, rent, mortgage. head on the cart like you normally do. Don't change your habit. Pay your bills.
So let me ask you.
You don't have to spend any other money or anything else. You're rewarded for your spending on your own money.
Okay, let me, because I got my card in the mail. Okay, so I have a code, a referral code, for people that want to sign up under me. And how this works, I believe, is they would simply go to www.thatcard.com, or is it .co?
.co.
.co. Dot co. Yep. So www.thatcard.co, and you would use my referral code, which is Quiet Swamp. So when they sign up under me, Quiet Swamp, and they start using that card, I get rewards and they get rewards, or is it just they get rewards?
Okay, so what happens is when they start, you know, you have a spending squad. You're not rewarded on your use, okay, of the card, but you're rewarded on the use of your spending squad, which is called your friend spend rewards.
Okay.
And likewise, each other person, they're not rewarded on their spending. They're rewarded on building a team, bringing individuals in, and so forth, which is now called your spending squad. So it's the reverse. Again, you think about this. Right now, the banking system is you're rewarded for your own spending. And they can only, you know, XYZ Bank out there, I don't want to mention a Pacific Bank, only has, let's just say they have 100,000 individuals in their bank. This product is now on the outside of the bank. There is, what, approximately 350 million people in the United States? So you have an opportunity to grow a business and an opportunity even higher. Here's the other thing that the second thing that I was going to say. You know, we have all these individuals that talk about, well, you know, I don't have the money to start a business. This doesn't cost you anything. You can start a business. You can be a student in college. Everybody knows about debit cards. Everybody uses debit cards. Businesses use debit cards. We even have what we call a companion card, meaning I can have a card and link to it. My daughter can have a card and she's in college. Okay? Or I have a card and my companion card is in Mexico. Or in the islands. I don't have to go and transfer a check cashing place or transfer fees. All I have to do is put it on the card and let them pull it off that way. It cuts down on the fees.
Okay.
We have approximately 68 million unbanked individuals. And I actually think it's higher than that.
I think it's higher than that, too.
I think it's higher than that. That was just on the last statistics. It's probably close to 125, 150 million, you know, people that are unbanked out there that use the check cashing systems and are non-banking type people. This is an excellent tool for them, so you don't have to pay all those fees.
Absolutely. Okay, so, Robert, did you have a question? Go ahead.
Yeah, I do. So, now that I've heard what I've heard, so is there any opportunity for, like, say we want to come with a customized card through your system where we get our cards, BIB, Blacks in Business, with our logo on a card and have them, but it's still going through your system, but it's a BIB, Blacks in Business, MasterCard. Is that possible?
That's absolutely, yes. There is an opportunity for an individual to have their own personalized card. What happens is if a person's interested, they give me a call. We'll sit down and talk. I'll fill out a short little form, And then what we'll do is we'll introduce them to the program manager, the patent owner, and he is also the official representative for MasterCard. So it could be any type of business. It could be a nonprofit organization. You know, we have universities that are about to use our card. They chose not to get their own card. They could. We've have other organizations that chose not to get their card, but you do have that opportunity to get that. Is there a cost for that? Yes, there is. But we can talk about that. We can work with that, and we can move forward.
Well, let's go ahead and offer people, if you are on the line and you would like to ask a question, we do have a person on the line and they're muted. I'm not sure if they have a question. You can go ahead and press ** and unmute yourself if you want to ask our guest a question. But he's going to be giving his last bits of information before we're closing out this hour. You're listening to Blacks in Business Radio, and we are talking about that card. So, Derek, what other information do they need to hear and know before we close out?
Okay, so again, we want to just remind everyone, www.thatcard.co. Mm-hmm. And the referral code for this call is Quiet Swamp. So if you were going to the site, you pull up the website, at the top right, right hand side, it says get a card, go in, fill out your information. 7 to 10 days, your card will come in the mail. It comes in a plain envelope. Please don't consider it being junk mail. It does have a window there, and you get your card, activate your card, you can get started. So let me just tell you, there is, if you load $20 on at the time that you enroll, there is no activation fee. If you load at the time of activation or ordering the card, $3.99, and if you order the card and don't do anything but just order the card when it comes to activate it, it's going to be $6.99. Now, I would tell you this. There is a monthly fee. There is always a monthly fee in any prepaid card or credit cards that you have. But here's how that fee goes away. When you're spending more than $750 a month, that fee is automatically waived. Just paying your bills, your water, your cable, your cell phone, your gas, electric, that fee is waived and you'll never see it. If you're a business, if you're in business promoting, you have a small Schedule C business, small LLC, it's a write-off for you. Okay? I think that this is an excellent opportunity for a person to start their own business. And I don't mind helping you get started with that, set up a corporation, set up a sole proprietorship, single member LLC, and go ahead and start to promote. You will do very, very well. Don't change your habits. Continue doing what you're doing. Add this to your portfolio and grow yourself financially to the next level.
Okay, so Derek, if they want to get in contact with you, go ahead and give them some quick information to do so.
Right now, our site is being changed over, so that should be back up either Sunday or Monday morning early. I'm going to give you my personal email, and that personal email is id14marketing@gmail.com. That's david14marketing@gmail.com.
Okay, perfect. Well, we definitely thank you for joining us today and telling us about your new product. Congratulations on that card. I'm looking forward to signing many people up and helping your business grow, and we will definitely be talking to you soon. Robert?
Yes, yes, I definitely appreciate everything that you have brought to the table today, because this is some good information, and I definitely need to check with you after the show, get in touch with you about that card, that Blacks in Business card.
All right. Well, Derek, thank you for coming on. You're listening to Blacks in Business Radio. Join
thank
us
you for having me.
Every Thursday at 7 p.m. Right now, we're going to go to commercial break. I would like to invite you to join Every.Black, the premier digital marketplace and directory for Black businesses and entrepreneurs. Membership benefits include representation on 12 websites, 12 Facebook pages, and 12 Twitter accounts. Your company will also be featured in the monthly e-letter. Sign up today by typing in Every.Black. Use the discount promotional code SISI. For more information, call 253-343-7284. When it comes to promoting your business, remember Every.Black.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, all right. Thank you for joining us for this now second hour of Blacks in Business Radio. We are here every Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we usually have some wonderful guests for you to interact with. Feel free to also tune in to Black Talk Radio Network 24/7 for the wonderful information coming through the network. And make sure you donate to blacktalkmediaproject.org. All right, Robert, are you still with us?
Yeah, I just got a text from one of the listeners that was on the show, and she said that, hey, I did sign on, but I signed off once they started talking about Jordan. So she thought it was the Michael Jordan from the Chicago Bulls. And I don't know if that has a negative effect by the name, because, you know, a lot of Black people think that Michael Jordan, the NBA player,
I said, did they think it was the Michael Jordan? So I don't know. That she just missed out on some information if that threw her off. I mean, that's interesting.
Right.
But we got to move on. We got to move forward. I'm sure we have Miss Elizabeth on. Just definitely invite that guest or that listener back on, you know, because I don't want her to miss out on this information. But what we're going to do now is talk to Miss Elizabeth White. I want to play a little bit of her TED Talk so you can kind of get the gist of what it is that she is representing. So give it just a second. It's a TED Talk. Kind of loading here.
You know me. I am in your friendship circle, hidden in plain sight. My clothes are still impeccable, bought in the good years when I was still making money. To look at me, you would not know that my electricity was cut off last week for non-payment, or that I meet the eligibility requirements for food stamps. But if you paid attention, you would see that sadness in my eyes, hear that hint of fear in my otherwise self-assured voice. These days, I'm buying the $1.99 trial-size jug of Tide to make ends meet. I bet you didn't know laundry detergent came in that size. You invite me to the same expensive restaurants the two of us have always enjoyed, but I order mineral water now with a twist of lemon, not the $12 glass of Chardonnay. I am frugal in my menu choices, meticulous. I count every penny in my head. I demur dividing the table bill evenly to cover desserts and designer coffees and second and third glasses of wine I did not consume. I am tired of trying to fake appearances. A friend told me that I'm broke, not poor, and there is a difference. I live without cable, my gym membership, and nail appointments. I've discovered I can do my own hair. There is no retirement savings, no nest egg. I exhausted that long ago. There is no expensive condo to draw equity and no husband to back me up. Months of slow pay and no pay have decimated my credit. Bill collectors call constantly, reading verbatim from a script before expressing polite sympathy for my plight and then demanding payment arrangements I can't possibly meet. Friends wonder privately how someone so well educated could be in economic freefall. I'm still as talented as ever and smart as a whip, but work is sketchy now, mostly on and off consulting gigs. At 55, I've learned how to fake cheeriness, but there are not many opportunities for work anymore. I don't remember exactly when it stopped, but I cannot deny now having entered the uncertain world of formerly and used to be.
Okay, we're going to stop right there. So, of course, again, we are welcoming on Miss Elizabeth White, and she's going to talk to us about her story and how she has begun to help others who have been faking it. So let's invite her on. Miss Elizabeth, do we have you on?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we sure can. Welcome to the show.
So wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes. I was so excited that I actually could reach out to you and get you on the show. That's always so amazing to me every time it happens. But I enjoyed watching your interview on PBS. That's actually what drew me in the first time. And, you know, we're talking about people who are 55 and up basically faking it. But I wonder actually, how many people under 55 are faking it? Have you done research on that too?
I hear from many people who say that my story resonates with them and they are well under 55. But the focus of my book is for really people in their 50s and up.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, specific numbers, but we know that millennials are struggling to find work, and I hear from people all the time in their 40s who've been jettisoned from the workplace and are having a really hard time getting back in.
Right. Okay, so why don't we let our listeners know where you began and your whole story that brought you to this point where you've written this book.
So a few years ago, I started to notice, let me even go back further. So I'm
these are
who grew up with a, you know, mom and dad, adored child, father was a career officer in the Army, we moved all over the place, went to undergraduate to Oberlin, ended up going then to John Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies, did well, kind of ended up working at the World Bank in my 30s, bought a condo. You know, everything was kind of just clicking along.
Mm-hmm.
And started a business, and the business went for a number of years. I had a chain of retail stores. We grew them. They were in D.C., then in Philadelphia, then grew them to New York. And I was selling Afrocentric, decorative home products with an Afrocentric motif. And I was buying from a lot of small suppliers, and at some point, I couldn't get the volume that I needed. We were in Macy's, at Herald Square, and in Brooklyn. and John Wanamaker, and I was not going to be able to grow this business the way that I thought I could. I closed it in the early 2000s. Thought, okay, with my background, I also have a Harvard MBA, I would get a work, and I did fairly quickly. Got two consultancies. One was a 6-month assignment that turned into 7 years, and then later on I got another one that was supposed to be a 1-year assignment, turned into 4 years. That combined income was, you know, really a great income. And then we hit the Great Recession, and within 6 months I lost both of those jobs. I was sort of in my mid-50s then. I had one more swing back around where got a job, did not click with my boss, left that job, and then just found that I was not getting the traction that I was used to getting. I was not getting the callbacks that I was used to getting. And I noticed that this was happening to friends of mine. You started to see little cracks in the facade. Somebody who, you know, would always have their hair just so, they started getting long between appointments. Or somebody whose nails were always done, they weren't done. Or they just started looking a little worn down at the heels. Or they'd, you'd be at a lunch with them and they would pretend like they weren't hungry, or they just ate, or they would order soup, or they wouldn't want to be part of the group divide of dividing the bill evenly, and we started to talk, and I had a friend who had lived in a big house and had to come live with me for several months because she couldn't afford the upkeep on her house. There's another friend who just flat out got evicted.
Wow.
We started to see people who had been doing really well and had been doing well for a long time suddenly not doing well. And I wrote the essay that you played some of it there at the start of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, eventually it made its way to the PBS Facebook page.
Mm.
And within 3 days, it had 11,000 likes and 1,000 comments. And my email address was there, and so people started to write me personally. And what I saw was what I thought was maybe a problem of me and a small circle of friends that I had was a much larger problem. And I have the background. I can look at the data.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked at the data, I was just astonished that we were not having a national conversation. You know, fully 29%, almost a third of Americans, 55 to 64, have saved nothing.
Mm.
Zero. A dime. Of those who have saved in that same age range, the median, meaning half above and half below, amount of the retirement account is $104,000. $104,000 sounds a lot better than zero until you think that our lifespan now, many of us, if we're in decent health, are going to live well into our 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have $104,000, that's going to last you 2-3 years at the most.
Wow.
And so when I started to see numbers like this, I realized that there were millions of Americans who are actually in trouble, and we're faking normal.
Mm-hmm.
And not having this conversation. You know, I looked at other data. You know, 47% of Americans can't pull together $400 for an emergency.
Mm.
You know, for example. And as I started to hear from people, and to hear just all kinds of stories of what was happening, and had the opportunity to travel around and speak to groups in Memphis, in Chicago, in Boston, in San Francisco. There started to be themes that I heard and wanted to, I thought if I tell my story, it will give a lot of other people permission to tell their story, and maybe I could help spark a conversation that I think we need to have.
Okay, so it seems that this tragedy, or this faking it, has put you in a place of entrepreneurship. I mean, it's not that you haven't been there before, because you had this chain of stores, but did you expect to ever be an entrepreneur after trying to go back to work?
I did not. You know, what happens is you look at what are your strengths and assets.
Uh-huh.
So what I do is that, because one of the most powerful ideas comes from solving your own problem.
Mm-hmm.
If you look around you, many of the, you know, if you look at, you know, Uber, people, someone had a problem with how cabs will run. Any of these big ideas comes from somebody has a problem that they're trying to solve.
Mm-hmm.
So what I saw is that I've landed here. I realized that millions of Americans have landed here, and we're not having a conversation. And that I have the ability to write, to tell a story, to speak. These are assets that I have. This problem is a big one, and there are all kinds of other things that are still needed that other people, as I'm, you know, moving around on this, I see other people beginning to fill other kinds of needs that those of us who have landed here have.
Now, when you talk about faking it, you know, that's so it's such a mental challenge to keep up that faking it. And how deep does the faking go? Because I'm sure some people have some family members around, but are you even faking it to the family members, or do they know? I mean, how deep does this faking actually go?
It can go very deep. I mean, in my own case, I'm very close to my family. I have a daughter. I'm very candid with her, and I was candid with my family. But many people talk to me about not being able to go to their family, not being able to, and the truth is that it often people are busy and preoccupied with their own lives. If you seem like physically okay, a lot of people are not going to look that closely. So if you are you know, still driving your car, still got your clothes from before when you were doing okay, you're still basically, you know, living where you used to live, nobody's going to know that you don't have money to clean the carpet. Nobody's going to know that your washing machine needs repair and you don't have the money to fix it. No one's going to know that you have, there's a water leak in your ceiling that you can't fix. All of that, and you just stop inviting people over. So people have ways that they can hide what's really happening.
Right, right. And I believe that. And I also think that when it comes to family, we have stopped being the communities that we once were in family, because one, everybody feels like they have to be so independent and living on their own. Whereas back in the day, you know, people used to live together, and I'm just not sure what is going on now. Like, why are we so separated in our lives, you know? Because I'm seeing it, because I care for elderly people. I'm a companion, and I'm talking about people who are like maybe 70, late 70s and 80s, and they're faking it. They're really faking it. I mean, they don't let you come in the house because of, they don't want you to see that this is not on or this is a mess or whatever. But I really think that a big part of this problem is the decline in our familial communities. What do you think about that?
I think that, so for example, the number of multi-generational households, sort of two or more households, is actually increasing from, you know, sort of 46 million some years ago to about 60 million now. And it's not just immigrant families. It used to be, you know, primarily that was the biggest part of it. But I think just to the point that you're making, and because people are struggling more, that you do have the beginning of multi-generational households coming together. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, the millennial child is not getting that job right out of college that they hope they would get, and they're ending up living back with their parents. And then mm-hmm. that parent has a mother who is not able to live on her own, and she's now also living in the household. And I think this increase we're seeing in the number of multi-generational households, we're going to continue to see that increase. And mm-hmm. we're going to also start to see it even in the design of houses with in-law suites and all of the rest of it.
You're right. They do have that in Seattle now. It's like a middle core, and yeah, I saw that.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would like to chime right in on this conversation. You hear me?
I can.
Yes.
Oh, how are you, sister? How are you doing today?
I am just astonished by one, the response that I have received, because, you know, the truth is there's nothing to be gained in America by coming out, I say this in the TED Talk, and telling people that you are struggling financially. This is just not something that you do. You mm-hmm. don't get any for it. Mm-hmm. And I was hiding in the beginning. You know, I talked about in the TED Talk on my website initially not having any pictures of me up there. When the first image that they used with my essay was of an older white woman in profile, I didn't correct them.
Oh, you know, wow.
It was, you know, one of those things you don't, people will say, oh, Elizabeth, you're so courageous to come out like this. And I always tell them, I didn't just jump out here courageous like this. This was a scary step, because you don't, and my faith is fabulous. I've got the uh-huh. clothes. I uh-huh. still live in the neighborhood. And mm-hmm. I have a cute car and kind of all of that. So I could really hide somewhat behind that. It took, you know, it was a gradual process of coming out here and being candid. Mm-hmm. But here's what I've learned. I am living now on a third of what I used to make, maybe less.
Mm-hmm.
And it is fine. You mm-hmm. know, so this is, It means that certain kinds of restaurants that I used to go to all the time, I'm not going. Mm-hmm. Or it means if I go, I might split an entree with a friend instead of, you know, ordering what I used to order. It means that I do a lot more shopping in my closet than I do buying clothes. I do more consignment shopping than I would have done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I found. I still have a really good life.
Yes.
Wow.
I have a really, I'm still adore my little grandson. He's not that little. He's 5'9" and 12.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. That's not little.
But wow. Looking into his face and hanging out with him, I have on the PBS NewsHour, one of my little joints I like is called Potter's House. It's like the neighborhood living room. I can go there for a cup of tea, and I meet most of the people I'm just going to do a meeting with, I meet there. It is the question I ask in my book, and I think this is what we have to get to. How do you live a richly textured and connected life on a modest income? What does that actually mean, and how do we do that? Because a lot of us are not going to be able to live the way we used to live.
Right.
And for me, then, it's deciding, like, what really matters to me. I've always been fashionable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a little black girl, I learned early that looking nice gave me 10 more minutes to make an impression.
Right.
Okay, and I just... So I'm going to be that woman who's going to be fashionable. But I don't need to wear Ferragamo shoes.
Right.
Do it. And in fact, I found a place where you can get secondhand Ferragamo shoes for like, you know, a third of the price, 20% of the price. So when I feel like I need something really, really special like that, there's a place I can go to do it. But I can do... Forever 21 should be called Forever 55.
Right. You know, right. Those numbers need to turn. Absolutely. I mean, you can go in there and find some stuff for a very, very good price, and you just have to improvise.
Right.
And it just really makes sense. It really does make sense. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes these sort of events that have to shake you into reality, because really, a lot of us were spending way too much money in the first place. So it's really good that we are now able to kind of look at ourselves in the mirror and say, wait a minute, I don't need to do all that. And it just actually makes you feel better. Robert, I think you're trying to ask a question.
Yes, I am. Miss Elizabeth, I'm curious because we are, as a people, traditionally a religious people. And most people in the black community, when things are good, they're giving God all the glory. But and a lot of times you hear God did this and God did that for me and this, that, and the other. But when you come down, or when things change, your economic situation change, and you're no longer at that plateau that you were at, and now you're, as you say, you know, the things that you're used to having, you no longer have those. The car, you can't make the car note. The mortgage payment, you can't pay the mortgage payment. Now, how does that really make one look at the whole God concept, the whole God ideal? Because I know that has to challenge or make one say, why, what did I do, God? Or why is this happening to me, God? How did that make you see God or reevaluate how you have been understanding God? Or did it even affect the way that you have come to know God?
Oh, my goodness. I just love your question, both of you. So I start from the place, probably maybe a little bit unusual for a black person, and the meeting house, we call it, not a church, is Quaker. That is, you know, of a sort of structured affiliation. If I am going to go to a service, that would be the one that I would go to. I would go to a Quaker meeting. So I'm probably a little bit off the grid in that sense from what many of us do. Let me say that this has been, I learned yesterday that I had just been named one of the top 50 influencers on aging in the country, and in my category, which is work and purpose, that I've been named, you know, one of the top 10.
Wow.
When I heard this, and just think, you know, I've told you a little bit of my journey here. Never would I have expected, sort of 2.5 years ago when I started on this and wrote this essay and all of that, the day that I would be getting this recognition of raising this particular topic, where it is being acknowledged among influence in aging on the country, in the country. So here's the thing. You don't know where your struggle is going to lead you. I actually feel now I'm doing the work I'm supposed to do. I feel like all of it, the international travel, the, you know, working at the World Bank, being an entrepreneur, I have flown Concord, and all of this stuff has led me now to have insight here, because I've also had my electricity cut off, I've had my water cut off, I've had not been able to pay my mortgage, I've been on both sides of it. I have flown on course, and all this stuff has led me now to have insight here. I've also had my electricity cut off, and my water cut off, I've had not been able to take my mortgage. I've been on both sides of it.
Elizabeth, are you there? We can't hear you.
Yes, I'm here. I was hearing the recording. I didn't know if you wanted me to continue speaking or not.
I don't know where. I think somebody's, I don't know what was going on there. I can hear you clearly now. There was a bunch of noise, and the station manager and I were trying to eliminate it. But yes, oh, go ahead. I'm so sorry.
So I'm saying that I'm going to use this term. I'm going to say, in terms of a spiritual path, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. That all of it, the challenges, the, you know, having to sort of, you know, make my way to where I could be candid about it, the, I've had a really cool life of zigging and zagging, and I've had, you know, I was describing there, you know, all the other things that come with financial woes. And right here is where I'm supposed to be.
Absolutely. And it's so amazing to actually be right where you're supposed to be. And what I discover sometimes in being right where you're supposed to be, you at times develop a little bit of an anxiety because you're so used to being not where you don't even want to be. You know what I mean?
I would say that for me, it feels, you know, you're stepping and you're hoping the ground is there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm stepping and I'm hoping the ground is there. Mm-hmm. This is an uncharted place for me.
Mm-hmm.
I am out now and candid about what has happened, and you know, so it is freeing in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other thing that I would say, because I'm hearing from so many people,
mm-hmm.
it really mm-hmm. ranges in where you have been. So I had someone tell me they used to own in Martha's Vineyard and they had to sell their place and now they're renting, and this was, you know, upsetting for them. They used to be on a bunch of, you know, but this is what's real for them. You know, they used to on a different, you know, bunch of boards where they had a give or get of $10,000 and they used to be able to write those checks, and now
right.
they can't write them anymore. That's one
right.
kind of come down. Then you
right.
talk to somebody else and they're going to food pantries, or a man telling me he had a period where he was living in his car, or someone had to move in with one of their adult children. So
mm-hmm.
I'm hearing the rain. So it, and I went in June. I was in Martin, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And Martin, Tennessee is in rural Northwest Tennessee. And I was invited to go there. And when I go into a community, I like to, if I have a chance to do it, to maybe talk to two or three people from wherever I'm going to speak beforehand. Can't always do it, but when I can, I like to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a community where they had, there had been factories there that had closed, and so people had been sort of jettisoned from the workforce because they no longer could work in these factories, and they were people who had been, you know, had moderate incomes most of their lives and had, you know, moderate incomes in these factories. And so I went there to talk to them, predominantly white audience, but not all white by any means. And I'm thinking, if you've seen me, I'm a pretty urban looking woman, big hair and black woman. And I was
right.
wondering, how is this gonna work when I go into this
mm-hmm.
Environment here?
Mm-hmm.
And I got a standing ovation. And what struck me was, a couple of weeks before that, I had been to an event at MIT in Cambridge. And there, it was former high earners who had lost their jobs and were unable to get back into the workforce. And what struck me, hearing both of these groups so close together, is in both cases, there was despair. In both cases, there was this, we did everything right, we don't know what happened. So however you were used to living in the community that you came out of, if it suddenly is turned on its head, you are upset. It doesn't matter whether you had to give up catfish or salmon.
Right.
That feeling of being dislocated, not
mm-hmm.
knowing what's going to become of you, how
mm-hmm.
are you going to support the family, these are the same questions. And I
yes.
remember that was profound to me because I was writing from a perspective of someone who had had career choice and decent to significant income.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to Martin, what I realized is the message translates for of us who have been in the workforce and suddenly outside, you know, sort of faced, you know, on a, like a plate glass looking in.
Right.
And unable to re-engage. Mm-hmm. The feet the same whether you're, you know, at one end or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I was less aware of that when I, you know, was first writing than as I have now spoken more places and had all kinds of people say to me, you know, you were in my head. This is what happened to me. How'd you know this is what I was feeling?
Mm. Wow. Well, it's all relatable. Although the stories come from many different walks of life, it all comes together because everybody can relate to being basically displaced and living in shame, you know? And so it's just so probably, I would say, refreshing to have somebody get up on a stage and actually tell the story, because now it's like, wow, I don't have to hide anymore. I can tell my story. This lady is telling my story, and so I can now have a voice. So I can imagine that, you know, it's really freeing for some people. So now with that, I mean, I suppose that you become somewhat of a counselor. Like, people just want to kind of wrangle you over to the table and talk to you for a long time.
You know, so I'm invited now to speak to groups, which I love to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just different places and corresponding with a lot of different individuals who write me directly. And then also I'm looking for sort of organizations and others to collaborate with. You know, when I wrote my book, I wrote it for a very specific reason.
Mm-hmm.
What I did see in the market was a book that dealt with the emotional aspect of landing here.
Mm-hmm.
What does it feel like when your plan A didn't work and you're looking out at all that rubble trying to figure out what is the best possible plan B?
Mm-hmm.
What does it feel like when you have some period where you feel like you are circling the drain?
Wow.
So I want to write a book that talked about what that was like. And I can write, I can do really dry, boring writing. And I said, I am not going to write like I'm writing, you know, some Brookings Institute tome. The image I had in mind when I wrote this book was, I'm standing at my back fence talking to my neighbor. I wanted to write the book that I needed to read. And
yes,
I wanted a book. Had a really good girlfriend of mine. She said, this book better not be a talk-a-thon. It better have some resources in it. She was always telling me.
A talk-a-thon? Uh-oh.
She said, this better not be a talk-a-thon. So the book has 100 online resources in it. I wanted to make sure that people could read this book and feel like, oh, there's help in here.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. It's
so,
not just a story. It's actually going to connect me to a lifeline or several lifelines.
Several lifelines. And
mm-hmm.
That was kind of my intention in writing it. But then I'm thinking now, as people have told me, I was invited to speak in Grand Rapids. And they had formed a lot of resilience circles. One of the things that really helped me was having a circle of friends that I could go to and I could tell the truth to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of we borrowed that the same $300 must have been a dozen times back and forth. When she had money, I had money, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And there were a group of us, we played this game where we would, whoever, how would you describe? So it would be like if I might say to her, oh, my cell phone's about to be turned off. And she'd say, oh, my electricity's been turned off, and she would win. And it sounds morbid, but that little game, we would just, it sort of just lightened it a little bit so that you didn't feel, we called it top this.
Uh-huh.
Top this. And in this circle, we could tell the truth. So one of the things I did in the book, because I wanted people to be able to read this book with a group. And so at the end, every chapter, I put reflection questions. And these were the kinds of questions that I went through with my friends to sort of, you have to get to the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a chapter in there that's just about getting off your throne. I talk about this in the TED Talk.
Right.
You know, if you have lived a certain way and you are facing the real prospect of that starter castle that you live in, you can't afford.
You got starter your castle. Brain,
you got to get your brain around that you got to move.
Right. Right. And that's so hard because you've made these objects part of your identity.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
The title or the job.
Yes.
Or the office,
the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. And in my book, so many people wrote me that I was able to just gems of things that people would say. I sprinkle through the book, and you hear the voices of people who sometimes in those moves, they lost a lot of friends, and they felt like the friends that they got, the new friends that were not so
bougie,
exactly. were more valuable to them. These were friends who walked them through illnesses. So there are all kinds of ways you can land here. You know, there are people who, first of all, very few of us have set aside the 15 to 20% of our annual salaries that financial planners tell us we need. Just few people have done it. Very few.
How many
of
people
us
have a financial planner?
Exactly.
Nobody. Yeah.
And so we haven't set aside. They tell us what you need is 15 to 20% of your annual salary. You needed to be setting that aside for, 40 years.
Yes.
We haven't done it.
Right.
And, so we are. That's why so many people have landed here. The other thing I think is important is there are systemic things that have created this. This is not just about, you had your nails done too many times.
Mm-hmm.
This is flat and falling wages for 30 years.
Right.
This is rapidly escalating cost of health care, of education, of housing. So people didn't just land here because, they're all just deadbeats and irresponsible. I say it, we all could have saved more. I could have saved more.
Mm-hmm.
But we're here primarily because of personal irresponsibility.
Right.
And I looked at the data. I looked at why are people pulling money out of their 401ks? It's not to put decks on the back of their house primarily. It's not to go on cruises.
Right. It's
there
to eat.
Wheel. Yeah, you know, a kid is doesn't have their tuition. They didn't get the school loan they were going to get, and so the parents go into the 401k, or, you know, somebody dies, there's not money for the people. You know, it's all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so many things. So what would be the most important lesson that you are lived by right now that this experience has given you?
So here, there's some things that I want people to take away. I want you to take away, first, that you're not by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There are millions. I want you to also take away that we're in a climate where, as I say, the cavalry's not coming. There's not going to be some big rescue.
Right.
We are going to have to save ourselves and each other.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to have to, that means I might be living with my sister, or I
mm-hmm.
might be living with my best friend, or I
mm-hmm.
might be, or whatever the thing is. We're going to have to think in terms of what we can do to save ourselves. I want us
right,
to remember
right.
we are the first generation to be here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It used to not be that that so many of us are going to live well into our 80s. Now, with better diet,
right.
better medicine, health care, and all of that, we're going to have many more people living into their 80s. Boomers, we're just the first generation up the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Gen Xers are behind us. Everybody now is going to start living longer without pensions. So the reason it looks so crazy, this is what I was saying in the TED Talk, is nobody's been here before. Nobody's had to do what we're doing now as a generation without pensions, inadequate 401ks, going to live longer than we, than, you know, other generations have. All of this is crazy making. This is why, if it looks a little confusing, because we haven't done it before. There are no role models yet. There are no supportive policies yet. There's kind of all of that.
Right, right. Well, this pattern of entrepreneurship is what we focus on. So even no matter what age you are, if you can do something for yourself, you should definitely be doing that. And I even say, you know, like you're talking about what you may have to start doing. I say start doing it. I mean, why not get together with some of your friends and decide, you know what, you have this house, it has 4 bedrooms, and you need to save a little money, and so do I. Why don't we just move in together? You have this side of the house, I have that side. Sometimes we come together. Why not do those things now so that you don't have that problem?
No, it's exactly. And you were, you know, I was listening in a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing about multiple income streams.
Mm-hmm.
My goal now is to create what I call a casserole of interesting
work. You know, against
work.
Federal law for
okay.
any
and
member of the executive branch to try to influence
is what the streams are. You know, so
entity. He's clearly in violation of federal law.
I do some writing. I do some speaking. I sell some books. I do some teaching. I do some consulting. All of these are little streams that I can cobble together.
Mm-hmm.
This fits my particular profile. Somebody else might say, I'm an empty nester, so I'm going to rent out one of these rooms. I'm going to drive Uber some of the time, and I'm going to, you know, take a part-time job at XYZ company, and they're going to cobble that together.
Mm-hmm.
And the point that you just made about I'm really interested in boomers
well,
coming together to do business
showing,
together.
That's
boomers,
a good idea.
Boomers
right
and Gen Xers. So I'm
go off here soon.
Two places now.
Stuff,
there's
right.
Institute for Career Transitions. They're in Boston, and they work with long-term unemployed. I do a lot of stuff with them, and you know, when I first wrote my book, they're the ones who went through it and told me, well, what about this, what about that, you forgot that. I do their conferences with them, and then there's another organization I just found out recently about called BoomerWorks, and they really look at their here in the D.C. area, where they help boomers who want to get into the shared or gig economy, and you've only had a W-2 9-to-5 job your whole life, you really don't know how to make the transition from the, you know, W-2 world to the contract world. Mm-hmm. They help boom with that. And so they found me through, I think, my TED Talk and feel like my message is relevant to what they're doing. And so we're looking at ways that we can collaborate. So I think in all of the areas that we're in, because we're often facing a don't want you workforce.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like there's stuff that needs to be done. There's a lot mm-hmm. of work that needs to be done. Mm-hmm. Why don't we start looking at partnering with each other?
Right, and that's what we have to do as a community, as a people, because that's the only way things are going to get done, because if we don't do it that way, there's going to be a lot of bloodshed, for lack of a better word. You know, there are people suffering in silence. And then another piece to this whole thing is, you know, yes, you're getting up in age, but what about getting up in age and then you're like, you have a disability? I mean, that's a whole nother factor that, you know, people need to be concerned with. But if people are willing to take care of each other, then, you know, some of these things can be eliminated. And I wanted to ask you, had you connected yet with the AARP magazine?
Not with the magazine, but definitely with the AARP organization. Different meetings I've had with them there yet.
Okay, well, I need to call them and get you on with the magazine. That's what I do. I'm a virtual assistant, so I'm going to call them tomorrow.
No, I would love to, and I've been, you know, looking actually for ways to connect with the magazine.
Okay, well, let's just make that happen, because, you know, I appreciate, you know, how humble you are in the situation and how candid you are in the situation. And so that people can really connect with you, we have put those links in our flyer, and we'll continue to share them on our platform, Blacks in Business Radio, and our Facebook pages, personal and public, whatever. And then we want to allow people to be able to get the book or reach out to you. What is the best way for that to happen?
The book is called 55 Unemployed and Faking Normal, and the best way to get it is on Amazon. That's where it is.
Okay, we need to get it in the library, too. I'm so excited. But, okay, so if they wanted to reach out to you by email, how would they do that?
FakingNormal@Yahoo.com.
Okay, FakingNormal@Yahoo.com. Well, Miss Elizabeth, we want to tell you thank you so much for joining us on Blacks in Business Radio. Feel free to come back anytime with new information or anything that you need to promote. We are definitely here for you every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on Black Talk Radio Network. Everyone, thank you for joining us. We're definitely going to tell you good night now. It's time to wrap up the show, and we will talk to you again next week.
Thank you.